Welcome to episode 98 of Eat, Drink, Write, and Urban Fantasy Whiteboard. Today, we're going to be talking about how to write horror.
Yes. Yeah.
But first, what are we eating and drinking? Oh, I think I did it backwards. How was our week?
Well, we're recording another episode for you guys while we're up here in Virginia visiting for Thanksgiving with Nana and Grandpa, your parents. So it's been a pretty good week. I've eaten way too much food.
I think I've gained about 25 pounds.
Yeah, I'm definitely like, if only not even for like the weight thing, but like, I should just go running. Like I should just do something. I've been a sloth all week, which is not a bad thing.
No,
it's been a great vacation.
Well-deserved, well-needed. Yeah.
Right. So pretty good. Good week.
And then we're eating and drinking. I've got, I think we both have the same thing, actually.
We do.
My pink rosé that I like to drink.
The Brut.
And we have been eating football food because it's football Saturday right now, actually. So we've had poppers and wings and meats and cheeses and lots of pizza.
Yes. Too much pizza.
Too much pizza. Yeah. My little nephew walked past me and he's like, How many pieces of pizza have you eaten?
As many as I want.
And I said, lots.
Yeah.
And he just looked at me. Okay, I have jokes.
Oh, of course you do.
These are just like dad jokes, but I tried to bring the horror concept into it.
Okay.
I heard a horror story involving a camera and window blinds. I shudder at the thought of it. What do you call a place to buy bootleg horror books?
What?
A spookeasy.
I like that one.
Isn't that a good one?
Cute.
How do monsters tell their fortune?
How?
They read their horror scopes.
Oh, that's cute. Yeah.
That was all kind of horror related.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Okay. So yeah, horror books.
Horror books. I never know how to say it. Horror.
I know.
Horror. And then it starts to be a little bit like,
We go down a bad path at that point.
So we've talked about writing various genres before, you know, mystery, for example. We've talked about how to write a mystery. And a lot of the time, urban fantasy, as we've discussed, pulls elements from other genres into it. So like we wanted to cover horror, horror, because we haven't done that as of yet. So what is it? And, you know, I know, like I talk about definitions to things that we know the definition to all the time, but I like to see the wording of, like, you know, the actual definition.
I do too. And we come up with some really neat ones that are out there about things that we haven't thought of putting it in those particular terms.
Right. Right.
So, yeah.
So horror is a genre of storytelling intended to scare, shock, and thrill its audience.
Okay.
At its best, a horror story taps into our fears by combining the ordinary with the shocking, the unnatural, and the grotesque. And that was a quote from masterclass.com.
I love masterclass.com.
I do too. It's one of my favorites.
As H.P. Lovecraft once said, the oldest and strongest emotion of mankind is fear. And the oldest and strongest kind of fear is fear of the unknown.
Yeah.
And so basically when you're writing horror, you're tapping into your reader's primal fears.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So to go about this topic, I started with a simple Google search, you know, how do you write horror? And the first article that popped up was one by a guy, Tim Wagner, called All the Things That I'd Wish I'd Known as a Beginner Horror Writer.
Oh, wow. That sounds great.
I know. So I decided to go through some of his stuff. I didn't go through all of it. So if you guys are interested in actually reading all of those, then go check that out. But I pulled out the ones that spoke to me the most and the ones that I thought would be most helpful for doing our podcast episode. So don't be afraid to write horror. I feel like we've talked about, you know, don't be afraid to do things all the time. Like, it's very applicable to a lot of our episodes.
Yeah, don't be afraid to step outside the box.
Yeah, absolutely. Because like horror, it can be a very dark genre. It can be very gross. It can be very frightening. It can be very gruesome, but there's a market for it. People do enjoy the dark and gross and gruesome.
And it could be comedic and all of those things too, which there are some really great dark comedies out there.
Absolutely. So if you enjoy writing it, then do it.
I have been wanting to do a horror book for years and years and years.
I think you'd be good at it.
At some point I would like to do it, and I want to do one that's actually scary, and then I want to do one that's a dark comedy because I do love the comedy. So at some point I will have to do that.
Absolutely. He mentioned, like, you should know what horror literature is already out there. Mm-hmm. And I think this goes for any genre you write. We've talked about it before, you know, read your genre, know what's in it, know what the tropes are, et cetera, et cetera. And that way you'll know what's already out there, what would be new and fresh, and also what tropes to break or which ones are going to be the most fun to use.
Yeah. I mean, that goes hand in hand with know your market.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Not just what's out there, but the market for what's out there, because there might be something that's not popular right now that you might want to do. And that's fine. Go ahead and do it. But it might not be marketable right now. I've got, you know, I mean, it's so funny to watch. I've written for so long. It's so funny to see the cycle of what's now, you know, high fantasy is now coming back.
Right.
Although it's actually on the downside, I think, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. It had come back. When I started, that's what it was. And right. Then it was not the end thing to do. So,
well,
yeah.
It's really interesting too, because a lot of the time when you talk to agents, they'll say, you know, what's on the market, like what's hot on the market right now is not what is going to be hot on the market in 2 years when your book actually comes out.
Ready to be.
So definitely don't be afraid to write something that's not marketable at the moment, because an agent might look at it and say, oh, that's really nice. Mm-hmm. And it'll be, you know, something that's popular in the next 2 years.
It may be timely in 2 years. Yeah,
exactly. Horror isn't just about the monsters. It's also about your characters.
Yeah, I think that's actually key.
Yeah.
Monsters are scary, of course.
Right.
But it's the connection to the characters that really amps up that fear in the reader.
Definitely. It definitely causes a bit of an anxiety reaction, mm-hmm. where, you know, if your characters are in trouble, then obviously you're going to want to have your readers care about them.
Yeah.
And feel the fear that the characters are feeling. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If they don't, you know, care about your characters, then they aren't going to really be scared for them.
Right.
Aw, too bad. They got, you know, eaten by the monster.
Like, yes, she finally died.
Right. Yeah, right.
Which might be a good thing.
You know, she was so dumb. I kept waiting for her to die and it finally happened.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
I think my next point kind of blends in with my previous point, and that's horror needs an emotional core.
Like you mean emotional from the character's perspective or from the reader?
I think all of the above. Like, I think it needs to have a story that you can relate to. It needs to have a story that draws on the emotions, whether that be fear because it's a horror book, or, you know, you want them to get out alive. So hope and like all that kind of stuff.
You
just want it to have something to revolve around emotionally. There's got to be emotion to it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So next I turn to one of my favorite resources, which I mentioned a little bit earlier, which is Masterclass.
Yeah, mine too. That's,
yeah.
Yeah.
And the first point that they made was, you know, what makes a good horror story? How do you know if it's good? And honestly, a lot of that is very subjective, I think.
I mean, true.
I mean, a lot of that is up to, you know, what readers enjoy, and everybody enjoys something different. Mm-hmm. However, relatability of the setting is a really good way to make a good horror story. And that's because, you know, think about a family moving into a new house, like a lot of horror movies books are based in a new house. Over the span of a summer, so it's hot and the cicadas are, you know, chirping and doing all their stuff.
I know what you did last summer. Series of movies.
Absolutely. Think about a hotel stay. Most of us have stayed at a hotel at one point or another in our lives. And so that's relatable to most people who are going to read these novels.
A lot of horror stories that deal with a hotel stay.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And then a camping trip. You're out in the middle of the woods in the dark in the tent, and there's something making sounds. That's obviously going to be very scary.
For sure.
Because we can picture that in our minds.
And we've all been in a position where we've been camping as little kids or whatever, and, you know, scared to death.
Absolutely. Yeah. So
good point.
If you can make your reader envision themselves in those settings by using a very familiar setting, that helps make them more horrific in a novel because they can put themselves in that setting.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
I like that.
So what are some good tips for writing horror? And I still got these tips from Masterclass. I love Masterclass. Anything that you guys are interested in trying to write, pretty much any topic is going to be on Masterclass, and they have really, really good tips.
And they also have you can pay for actual classes from famous authors that know what they're doing.
Yeah.
So yeah,
definitely. The first tip is read more horror. Mm-hmm. We say this all the time when telling y'all how to write about various topics. Mm-hmm. I think we've said it definitely more than once, mm-hmm. more than five times throughout this entire podcast. Mm-hmm. One of the best ways to study One of the best ways is to study the books that are already out there. So that kind of goes back to, you know your market, know mm-hmm. your, like what literature is already out there. Mm-hmm. Cause you've got the authors like Edgar Allan Poe, mm-hmm. Lovecraft and Stephen King. Those are obviously like the giant mm-hmm. names in writing horror. Mm-hmm. But consider like other ones like Shirley Jackson, Dean Koontz and Robert Bloch. Like all of those are very good authors in the horror genre.
Yeah. And especially if you want like a gruesome one, then
yes.
pick out a gruesome one. If you want a psychological one, pick out, you know, mm-hmm. study what type of horror that you want to write.
Definitely. Do a quick Google search on like the best rated horror novels. Mm-hmm. That's a really good way. You might get a lot of novels that are not well known, but are still yeah. very well rated and well written.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Horror can transcend the genre boundaries. And this is what I was talking about earlier when I was saying like urban fantasy pulls a lot of the elements from other genres. Mm-hmm. So, you know, one of the examples that I was reading about was Neil Gaiman. He uses a lot of horror elements in his urban fantasy, but mm-hmm. it is urban fantasy mm-hmm. In the genre as a whole. So, you know, just make sure that, you know, you're not limited to what horror is. It can go into a variety of
other genres. I mean, think about murder mystery novels that, you know, you don't know what it is that's causing the murder. It could be something horror related,
right?
As opposed to just a whodunit.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, it can go into any kind of genre.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just like comedy can.
Mystery can. Yeah. I think there can be like a blending of several genres mm-hmm. a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, if you're trying to write mainly a horror novel, then you're going to include a higher number of like horror elements.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you're writing a horror novel, focus on your own fears. You know, horror benefits from authenticity. I think mm-hmm. pretty much any type of writing does. Like everyone always says, write from your experiences mm-hmm. and that'll make it feel more real because you're going to get better description, better detail. Mm-hmm. In Essays on Writing Horror, Stephen King has written about like how the process has helped him personally overcome his fears. And you know, his know-how was born of experience. So in writing horror, he figured out like his own fears, his personal fears, and put those in his writing. And we obviously know how his books have turned out.
Yeah, he's something else.
Right. So, you know, get personal. If you can scare yourself, you can probably scare your audience.
Yeah. I think Stephen King is probably the first name that pops to my head when someone says, oh, horror movies mm-hmm. or horror books. Mm-hmm. Stephen King is the person I think of.
Yeah.
He's a master at getting inside your head. Mm-hmm. You know, I just don't think I've seen any other author be able to get into our innermost secrets, those things that we don't want to admit that right. we're even thinking.
Yeah.
And he's brilliant at it.
Yeah.
And that's scary.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think I'm going to talk about that a little bit later about getting into the narrator's head. Mm-hmm. And Stephen King is wonderful at it.
Yeah, he is.
Create three-dimensional characters. This is one that, again, applies to most writing, but it's especially useful in horror. Because if you have a real well-rounded character and your audience can relate to those characters because they are human, you know, it's going to be more frightening that they fall into these situations where they end up dead.
Yeah, and I think the well-rounded character, you know, going back to character arcs, and I've talked about this before, and I still don't think you've seen it yet. Truth or Dare movie.
No, I haven't.
It's the second one, not the one.
I remember. Yeah.
But.
Oh, sorry. Really, so finish the sentence for our listeners, because I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. It was the Truth or Dare novel with this character, and she starts off very good mm-hmm. like relatable good, like we all think we're good,
right?
That kind of good, not, you know, goody two shoes sure. good where we don't like her because she's
right.
too good,
right?
You know, just a normal good person. And then to watch her character, she doesn't devolve, she just shifts her perspective based on what's happened. And that is a great example of a character development in a horror novel, because we don't get that a lot of times in horror books.
Right, right.
Sometimes it is all there for the cheap thrills or whatever. And there can be really good ones. And people probably think that's a great B movie, but
yeah.
You know, I love great B movies.
Yeah.
But that was, to me, one where the character development was really well done.
Yeah. Well, and I appreciate character development a lot. And I mm-hmm. think every character needs to have their own goals and their own motivations mm-hmm. and, you know, reasons for why they're doing things, especially in a horror novel where it's like, oh, I'm going to run up the stairs where there's no exit. There's got to be a reason, mm-hmm. you know, there's something coming mm-hmm. back the other way. There's something coming through the front door.
That commercial.
It's like, let's go hide behind the
chainsaws. Why don't we just get into the running car?
Yeah, exactly.
No, that's stupid.
Yeah, exactly. So there needs to be reason, you know, yeah. and thought and, you know, goals and motivations to the characters that are in a yeah. horror novel.
Yeah.
I already said that. Recognize the real can be scarier than the surreal.
Oh yeah.
So I think this applies a lot to you. Cause every time we talk about horror movies, you're like, well, the scariest one to me is Halloween, which mm-hmm. is not a supernatural one.
Right.
Or one with,
at least it wasn't in the beginning. The very first
one.
Oh,
well, yeah. Sure.
He keeps coming back from the dad, yeah. but whatever.
Right. But, you know, monster movies don't scare you as much. And like the serial killer movies do. And I think that's fair. You know, mm-hmm. that pulls back the relatability. That I mentioned, you know, make your reader think, oh, this could happen to me.
Yeah. What is that saying? Truth is scarier than fiction. Truth. Is
oh, something weird. Like that.
Might be weirder than fiction.
Stranger than fiction.
Oh, stranger than fiction. That's it. But I think it applies to scarier too.
I think so too. Yes. Yeah.
But I agree. There are the things that are real are scarier for a whole lot of people. Not to say that monsters might not be real. We don't really know. It could be sparkly.
I mean, I think it depends on how you define monster.
I mean, that's true too. But, you know, knowing that what is happening to the characters in the book, that knowing that it could plausibly happen to me, that is scary.
Yeah.
Getting stuck in an elevator is scary.
Very scary. Absolutely.
It can happen.
It can. Yeah, no, for sure. Like I said, it takes you back to the relatability aspect. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, I could see this happening to me because mm-hmm. I could get stuck in an elevator kind of thing. Mm-hmm. For sure.
You probably could do a Google search of fears to help write your novel as well. What are people commonly afraid of?
Absolutely. You don't need blood and gore to scare your audience.
Right.
You know, obviously you can include those things if that's what you're going for, if that's the kind of aesthetic that you want in your mm-hmm. writing. Absolutely. But you don't need it in order to frighten your audience. Mm-hmm. It's definitely useful to catch your audience off guard, cause you can include, you know, certain things. I was just watching The Haunting of Hill House, and in that series, it's a TV series on Netflix. One of the characters was talking about the runny egg eyes.
Ooh.
And that's exactly, so it is gory and it's, mm-hmm. but, and it leaves an image. And so like you can use that in a very good way, but you don't need that to scare your audience.
That's true.
You know, people couldn't stop talking about like the Blair Witch Project, mm-hmm. And Paranormal Activity. And neither one of those are like excessively gory. They're not really that gross.
No, Paranormal Activity is very scary. That's yes. one of the scarier ones to me.
Absolutely. But they don't rely on like that blood and gore.
Yeah.
You know, horror can be so much more than just grossing people out.
Right.
You know, I think gore and that kind of thing should absolutely probably be used to, you know, engross the reader, you know, mm-hmm. drag them into it. Cause like, I will never forget the runny egg eyes.
Yeah.
Like it's, you know, it left an image.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that's very true. And, you know, outright gore to me isn't super scary. It's just gross.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The potential unknown is what's scary to me. Use your reader's imaginations to let them create the scary scene.
Definitely.
As opposed to, you know, explaining, oh, I chopped off her hand and the ragged skin. And I mean, you can put stuff like that in there, but let their imagination fill in the blanks. It's going to be a lot more scary when the reader is the one filling it in.
That's a really good point. And I think that's true for monsters as well. Like, you know,
yes.
every time I'm watching a scary movie and the thing is a monster, you know, every time that I can't see it, that's when it's actually scary.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very rare that upon the reveal, I'm actually scared.
Yeah,
of it.
You're like, really? This is what it was?
Right, right. So, you know, I think that's a really good point. Like, mm-hmm. I think the unknown and letting the, you know, audience decide what it looks like is way more scary.
I think so, too. Our readers are very creative.
Absolutely.
So they wouldn't be reading our stuff if they weren't wanting that kind of imagination. Yeah, they've got the imagination.
I also found a couple more tips on writing horror from writerswrite.co.za.
Mm-hmm.
So use subtle foreshadowing, which is one of my favorite tips ever. I will just
like the foreshadowing.
Yes. Yeah. It'll create tension and pull your reader to the edge of their seat as you're writing your novel.
Mm-hmm.
Use your characters for this. I thought this was an amazing tip. Use a shiver running down your character's spine when they pass by a door.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they can decide, you know, depending on what your point of view is, first person, third person, whichever, you know, they can think that shiver is just because it's cold,
mm-hmm.
but it happens to be because they are walking by that door.
Right.
Or, you know, a feeling of dread when they walk down a dark corridor, which is a little less subtle, but still, you know, you don't know why they're feeling that dread.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it'll let you know that let your reader know that something is not right with yeah. those areas.
Yeah.
Consider your pacing. We talked about this in our last episode. Pacing is really important, I think, in all things writing, because it'll get across, you know, messages that you don't actually have to use words for.
You can get a feeling across just by your sentence structure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you control your reader's experience through pacing, like the short, choppy sentences give a sense of urgency, mm-hmm. like we've discussed.
Mm-hmm.
And long sentences will allow your reader to breathe for a second. So if it's mm-hmm. been go, 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 and it's just like too much, then you can take a step back a minute mm-hmm. and let your audience breathe for a second before you toss them back in the frying pan.
That's a good point. Yeah. I use this. I found this article as well. The same one on writerswrite.co.za.
Yes.
And one of the things that spoke to me in it was that it said horror is about contrast between the comfort of the familiar and the discomfort of the unknown. And that word discomfort
uh-huh.
is a lot to me that has to do with horror.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
That unsettled
yeah.
feeling is very important, I think, in a horror. The best way to create this is to begin your story with your character in a very comfortable, familiar place, mm-hmm. like you were talking about.
Right.
And then so your reader's like, oh, this is comfort. And then you start taking them out of that comfort zone. And that adds the tension. It adds the horror aspect, the uncomfortableness.
Yep. Yep.
You know, so, yeah.
Absolutely. I also found other tips on bustle.com in an article written by Charlotte Allen.
Okay.
Allen. 10 tips for writing horror for the, I think I copied this wrong. Oh, for the modders of the genre. So like people who have like already masters of the genre.
Okay.
Listen, I'm working on it.
Yeah, we're having lots of drinks today.
It's football day.
Well, and it's eat, drink, right?
We've
been doing absolutely. The eating too.
But also football.
But not much writing. Just talking about writing.
True. We have done that a lot today.
Okay.
But yeah, so from the masters of the genre. So get inside your narrator's head. And this is what I was talking about earlier when you mentioned Stephen King and how he's able to get in the heads of his characters. You know, the better you do this, the better you'll actually pull your reader into the story along with your character. They're going to feel as if they're experiencing what your character is also experiencing.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you talk about point of view again later, you might, but first person point of view is definitely a great way to do this because you really are right there.
Yeah.
In that character's head. I mean, you can do it with third person as well.
Yeah.
But it's just more there if you're first person. You are seeing it through the eyes. Your narrator is the one telling the story, that first person point of view.
Yeah. I think we've done an episode on first person point of view stuff. I'm not sure.
Because that's both of our favorite ways to write.
It is. Yeah. It is. I think we could probably do an episode on third person point of view. We could do an episode on, and this is why I didn't include it in here, on unreliable narrators.
That is a great topic, honestly.
Agreed. And mm-hmm. I think we could discuss that really well. And, you know, it would fit into this episode pretty well, too, because mm-hmm. of like the horror genre, especially if you use first person. You're inside your character's head. Things could be going wrong. Like, think about the movie Shutter Island. Mm-hmm. You know, things are a little strange.
I love that movie. It was well done.
Stranged up the whole, the entire
that's movie. Another movie or book that makes you feel unsettled. Something's not right.
Something's always wrong.
Really well done.
Yes.
I thought that movie was really well done.
Yeah. So I don't get too far into like points of view, like first person versus third mm-hmm. person, because I think it would be beneficial for us to do other episodes on
I love unreliable characters. And I think in a horror setting, it is absolutely a great way to go because you're totally misleading your reader.
And like you said, it's unsettling.
In a good way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, that we'll have to do an episode on that.
We sure will. So the scariest thing is feeling out of control, which I know you relate to a lot. Feeling like you can't fight or help yourself or help someone else is probably one of the worst feelings. So
it is. I am a control freak. And, you know, you're right. That one of my deepest fears is not being able to control what's happening.
Yeah.
You know, not being able to control keeping my children safe, not being able to control how events need to go. That is, it's a feeling of helplessness.
Yeah.
I hate that feeling. And that is horror for me.
Yeah.
Getting a character, I would 100% relate with that in a book, and it would terrify me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The next tip that I have is one that we've also talked a lot about at lot. Wow.
La, 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 la.
Wow.
Yeah.
talked a lot about recently because of NaNoWriMo. And this tip is just, you know, start writing and fix it later.
Yeah. Just work through it.
Yeah.
Get through it.
Mm-hmm. It really applies to all writing. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to get words on the page in order to have anything. Mm-hmm. But, you know, don't worry about if your monster is scary enough. Don't worry if you described it well enough. Don't worry if you get that fear across. You can fix all of that later. Mm-hmm. You just need, you know, the ground building blocks in order to create
the death scene that I did. Just got to write through it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Also consider exploring an underlying theme. You know, it's going to enrichen the experience. I think that's true for most works of writing. And make the stakes of the story obvious. It'll help so much with fear and anticipation and anxiety.
And that works really well with third person because the main character may not know what the reader knows. And that's even more tense for the reader going, oh my God, don't turn that corner.
Right, because they're going to walk right into it. Yes.
Oh no.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I found another source under www.writers-online.co.uk.
Okay.
And it said, remember that the scale of the threat does not necessarily equal the level of fear. So there might be like a global alien invasion in progress.
Yeah.
But if you want your readers to feel the horror of the situation, give them a single family to care about.
Right.
You know, so like in the zombie apocalypse movies, the whole world is experiencing and that is scary.
Yes.
But you're dealing on a one-to-one level with whatever character you're dealing with.
Right.
Bring it down to that character level.
Right, right.
You know, show their desperation, show their struggle for survival.
Yes.
Don't reveal the monster too soon.
Uh-huh.
The greatest source of fear is the unknown. So if you let your readers know exactly what the main character is facing from the start, you're going to miss out on that opportunity to build the tension.
Absolutely.
Create uncertainty. And that was what I was talking about before. Uncertainty, whether it's something glimpsed out of the corner of your eye or something, you know, you're not sure of another character's motivations. You're just not sure. It makes your reader feel unsettled. And that is a great way.
Like you said, discomfort is very useful tool
for horror writers.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the setting you choose, I think you said something about setting. You did. You talked about setting earlier.
Yeah.
It also has a big influence on the mood and the atmosphere. So start thinking about the scenery. So, okay, we know we've got it in a hotel room, but what if there's a hole in the wall in the hotel room? And you're like, what is that hole in the wall?
Right.
Is there a camera there? Is it, you know, what is it?
Yeah.
That kind of thing. So think about the description that you're going to use in your setting.
Yes.
Climate, such as weather and
all of that can be super useful.
You know, the dark and stormy night.
Right. You can use that, but you can also use, you know, a snowy night, you know, because then it's going to be very cold. It's going to be harsh outside. It's going to be, you know.
The fog is always scary.
Yes, absolutely.
You can't see through it.
Yeah.
I mean, Stephen King wrote a whole book on the fog.
Yeah.
The mist. Yeah.
Wow.
This is how Clive Barker puts it. He's an author I like a lot. He says, horror fiction has traditionally dealt with the taboo. It speaks of death, madness, and transgression of moral and physical boundaries.
Yeah.
It raises the dead to life and slaughters infants in their cribs. It makes monsters of household pets and begs our affection for psychos. I mean, think about Dexter.
Yeah.
It shows us that the control we believe we have is purely illusory and that every moment we teeter on chaos and oblivion. That I thought was a superb way to put it.
That is a really good way to put it.
Yeah. Well, he's a writer. So.
As we all are.
As we all are.
I do have a, that's all of the notes that I have.
Okay, me too.
I do have a quick interview question for you.
Okay.
You keep talking about how you want to do your own horror novel. What is the most enticing aspect of horror that draws you into it?
I like the twist, which there's, that's a whole nother topic we could do on horror.
Yeah.
To twist or not twist.
Right.
I like the horrors that twist.
Gotcha.
Okay. I love that surprise because it's so rare that I'm surprised. As a reader, I'm always, I mean, as a writer reader, I'm always able to guess, oh, it's going to be this.
Right.
And then it is. And you're like, oh,
okay. Yeah.
I love the twists that are unforeseen, like that Eliza Dushku Grave Encounters,
I think.
One of my favorite movies. I wrote a short story. One of my very first short stories wasn't great, but it had that twist at the end where, you know, the little girl finds something and it's a wishing something. And
yeah.
So all these people accidentally make wishes on this thing. And the last character gets hold of it and she's like, I wish there was no world. And that's the last sentence in the story. And so, of course, I mean, it's a predictable.
Right.
I wrote it when I was like 12.
But yeah.
I love that. You know, it leaves you with
okay.
My favorite last line in any book is Stephen King's Pet Cemetery.
Yeah.
You know, something like, I'm back, darling, it said.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the end of the book. And I love that kind of horror. What about you? What do you like about horror?
I really enjoy what we talked about earlier with the leave it to the imagination. Mm-hmm. I'm the most scared watching horror movies or reading a horror book is when I have no idea what it is. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it looks like.
Imaginations go running rampant.
Absolutely. And so I think that's the best part of horror to me. And I think I love putting aspects of that in my writing. And I think I want to start putting more in, you know, like it, depending on the series, because it doesn't fit with certain series.
Right.
But it could absolutely fit into a lot of our urban fantasy that we write. So mm-hmm. I think I'll probably start trying to do a little bit of that.
I like it.
In my novels.
Do it.
Absolutely. So I forgot to come up with a sentence.
Oh, no.
For this week. I could probably come up with one on the fly.
Okay.
So the sentence challenge is where you basically take the sentence that I give you as a writing prompt and use it somewhere mm-hmm. Within a work of writing. And it can be as short or long as you want. We would also love to read them. So if you would send them to us, that'd be great.
Yeah. Email them to us. That's the easiest way to get them to us.
Yeah. And we've talked about doing an episode of reading these on the air. And we've read them, but we haven't had a chance to do an episode.
We really do need to do that, an episode with those, the ones that we've gotten. Some of them are fantastic.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So the sentence that I'm coming up with off the top of my head here is, I opened the door to my basement and there was something down below.
Okay. Good. Good one.
So good luck with that.
Okay.
We would love to read it. So send it to us.
Yes, definitely.
So are we ready for our outro? All mm-hmm. right. Thank you guys so much for listening. Again, sorry that we were gone for so long, but we're back and we're ready to be back on schedule again. Mm-hmm. Anytime that we go absent or on hiatus, we will put the reason why on all of our social media, which you can find on our website at eatdrinkwritepodcast.com. Mm-hmm. We've got links to all of our stuff there. So we have Facebook and Instagram, Pinterest, all of that good stuff. We also have an email, which is the best way to get in touch with us, which is eat.drink.write.podcast@gmail.com.
Yes, ma'am.
We also have a Patreon, so we would love your support. We've already got some really great supporters. Mm-hmm. You know, we really enjoy doing this. Obviously, we enjoy talking a lot. So,
yeah, and don't feel like you've got to, you know, give us some massive amount. Just anything, $1 a month would be super helpful. And we try to do extra stuff for our patrons on our Patreon page.
Yeah, we have a few worksheets there. I know I've made a few templates for you guys. Mm-hmm. I had a timeline template that I use and is really useful for me as I'm writing, especially if I take a long break and come back mm-hmm. to it.
Yeah, one of our patrons said one of those was very helpful, and you color coded the time sequence.
I did. I color coded the plots within mm-hmm. the time sequence, so I can see the pacing of each plot line as mm-hmm. I write it out. So I've got that.
That kind of stuff. If you support us, you get access to that kind of content.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So come support us. And thank you guys for listening. We really enjoy doing this for y'all.
Yep. See you next week.
See you next week.